to worship. There we go. Welcome to worship, and we welcome any visitors in Jesus' precious name. Start with our intimations, and just the first one comes on there. Tea and coffee after the service in the small hall, just a time of wee time of fellowship, and getting to meet and greet. And the Guild, which is Tuesday afternoon, and it's the Alternativity. These are the list of the Christmas services. Here at 11:30 for a Nativity service, 7:30 a family service in the evening, and then 11:30 here, but 11:15 for there's ginger wine and shortbread to be served up. So we'll have a wee time of refreshment before we go into that service, and seeing the bells to Christmas Day. And on Christmas Day, our day, 10:30. Sorry, I thought I'd switched it off there. 10:30, our dear Christmas morning. And then our shared worship with our dear here on Sunday morning at 10:30. And there'll be a wee bit more about that next week. That's that reminder of the watch night service there. Flower calendar has been made up. There's a few spare months left. If anyone can help in any way, that's with arranging or delivering, please speak to Elizabeth Canavan and her after the service, or our phone number's there. And I thank you from the Chance to Thrive, the get-together lunches, next one being in February. Certainly this one in beginning of December was good. And it was good to see the children from our dear there as well. And I thank you from the Social Work Department for all your generosity. Gifts donated will be of great value in helping families in crisis at Christmas. And the money that donated will go towards providing 116 Christmas dinner food parcels. That's a tremendous number. So thank you. Prayer treat, for everyone's information, is out in the vestibule for Christmas. And again, it's just, if you wish to put on a prayer for Christmas or New Year, just to write up one of the stars that are there and hang that up. And as we move to the New Year, 7th of January, we change the worship times, 10 o'clock here and 11:30 in Ardeer. I need to remember that. Could become awkward. And I've got a final one, is the Unity Carol service is tonight at 6:30 at St. John's. So that's tonight at St. John's. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Let's stand as we sing as the Bible is brought in.
We light it and the candle of hope again as we remember that Christ will come again and bring to the world everlasting peace.
The third candle of Advent is the candle of joy. It reminds of the joy that Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that special child would be born to her, a child who would save and deliver his people.
God wants us all to have joy. The angel who announced to the shepherds that Jesus had been born told them, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is the Messiah, the Lord."
So we light this candle to remember that Christ brings the promise of a new life, a life in which the blind receive sight, the lame walk, and the prisoners are set free. We light it to remember that he is the bringer of true and everlasting joy.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the joy you bring us. Help us prepare our hearts for this gift. Bless our worship. Help us to hear and to do your word. We ask it in the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. It was on a starry night when the hills were bright, earth lay sleeping, calm and still. Let's stand to worship. It was on a starry night. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Our hearts praise God this Advent as we remember the excitement, the expectation of a new baby. A baby who would bring hope, wonder, and the promise of new life. A baby who would be the fulfillment of promises made long ago before his birth. A baby who would change the world. A baby who would bring health and healing and new possibilities to those who sought him and to those who did not. Our voices praise God this Advent. As we rejoice in the miracle and challenge of God coming among us, God who would seek out the despised and the dejected, who would lift up the bent and the broken, who would challenge the systems of power and authority, God who would bring new life and wholeness to those who knew they needed changed and to those who did not. Our lives praise God this Advent as we seek to be people who live out the radical message of the Incarnation, people whose values are based on the Magnificat and not on the populist press, people whose message brings comfort to the uncomfortable and challenges the comfortable, people who take action to be faithful disciples true to a hard message, people who have confidence in the God of Advent who is with us today and tomorrow. Before Advent ends, before we look forward again to a new year, before God gives us a fresh start, let's deal with the unfinished business. And so we bring our sorry hands, the unfilled promises to you, Lord, and to each other, the unfilled promises to ourselves, the unopened presents of time, of interest, of love which others have offered, and we give you with sorry hands the thank yous that were never said, the apologies that were never made, the time that was never spent. We offer you even with reluctance any disappointment or hurt, any jealousy or pettiness which will dement the future, unless we are liberated from it today. And we do this because your unfinished business is to make us complete. And so, Lord, as you hear our confessions by your Holy Spirit, may we know your forgiveness. May your Spirit cleanse us and change us, transform us. And hear us, Lord, as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 9.
Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For us, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Amen. Thank you. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. It's an appropriate moment maybe to think about what it is we do when we receive a present. To think about what actually it is and how we act as we do that. I went through that down in our dear stage by stage with the children, and it was really interesting to hear how quickly the words thank you came in to the conversation. But actually, I said to them, you know, when you're receiving a gift, the first thing you have to do is put your hands out and open your hands so you can receive the gift. So when you receive the gift, you actually have to hold it. And this is where the excitement comes in, because the next thing we do after saying a thank you, although somebody said, give a present back, that would be fine. But the next thing we do, of course, is very carefully, because it's well wrapped. Very carefully, we need to sort of undo it and find out what's in the present. And I did this better than they did. And then, of course, there's that other really frustrating thing, is we realise it's a box of sweeties, and there's still that tape around it, that cell tape around it, and I couldn't get that one off down the road either. There we go, look at that. I give in. Not for long. Marvellous. And then, of course, there's that other bit when we look with absolute glee about what's in, but you can actually get the smell as well. And then you remember you've got diabetes. But you know, the next thing about the gift, the important thing for us is actually the sharing. It's okay, just don't eat it. And, you know, I could be around here for ages. But the importance is the sharing out, you know. And Wilson, you read that so well. You could have two. This will take me ages. I wonder if you could just pass that around. And just let it go and let it... We'll probably run out of time and start singing, but you know what, just let the thing go. And excuse me, try and remember two sweeties for up the top there. Six sweeties. Somebody will do a run. But you know, this is the important bit as well, is about when we share that, and we've got a message. I don't want to say too much at the moment, because some of that will come up in the sermon, but we have a message of a gift that was given, not to be held to ourselves, but to be shared with others. And this is an important time for us, just to remember that story and that gift as we share with the rest of the world. Let's take a moment in prayer. Father, as we remember the gift that you've given us, so we praise you. As we're able to share in your goodness, we praise you. As we share together, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. From the squalor of our borrowed stable, by the Spirit and a virgin's faith, let's stand to sing our hymn for the month together. Thank you. The Lord is good to those who look to Him, to anyone who seeks Him. It's good to wait in patience for deliverance by the Lord. Let's pray. God of power and mercy, You call us again to celebrate the coming of Your Son. Remove those things which hinder love of You, that when He comes, He may find us waiting in awe and wonder for Him who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. We sing together again. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of Your parenthood and Your loving care. Some of these songs might be new to us, but you know, it's just we'll get the grip of them as we go through, and time will tell. And this will be another one that might be added to the hymn for the month. So, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of Your parenthood and Your loving care. I will sing Your praises. Let's just sing His praises now. A reminder as well that if anyone wants to give me an email or note or just a word, it's better written down, though I tend to remember it better. Their favourite hymns could be added to a possible list for hymn for the month, whether it's something that is an older hymn that we've not sung for a while or whatever, but just to hand that in to me. Let's take a moment in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come and we sing Your praises. We hear Your word and we give You the honour. Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our minds be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our God. Amen. I just looked up and saw that it says 11:45. Got lots of time now. It's only 2:15. You know, we live in a consumer society. There was somewhere there was a photograph of folk who had used the same washing machine and TV for years and years and years, old sets. Oh, there, I can't remember where I saw that photograph. I hope I'm not imagining it. But I saw that, but it got me thinking about our first washing machine. It lasted 14, 15 years. And actually, the washing machine after that, it lasted about 5 or 6 years, but some of that was about the fact that our next door neighbour was the hot point engineer. And every time it broke down, it wasn't a case of phoning a company, it was actually, Dennis, you want to come through? And eventually Dennis said to me, That's the last time, Dave. That goes again and it's finished. But that first machine lasted 14 years. And then I'm not sure how many machines we've gone through since then. But we move more and more towards a disposable society, a consumerist kind of society, where even likes of printers, as printers for the computers, are almost to the point where you're cheaper buying a new computer than buying all the inks for them. And this is the way we find our society going, and we recycle more and more. But actually, I wonder how much the stuff actually needs recycling, because we could use it again and again, but we've kind of gone out of that idea. Or things become far too expensive to do that. And sometimes, there's a danger that we start to think of and look at the number of presents that we have as the thing rather than what's in them. I'm always reminded of Dursley from Harry Potter, whose birthday it is. And Dad says there's 36 presents. He counted them himself. There's 36. And Dursley says, 36? There was 37 last year. And that number of presents, that whole idea of there has to be lots of presents to make it worthwhile. And in that, we also remember those who struggle to get just one. But everyone has received a present from God. We all have. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. We have all received from the fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah 9. But as I said earlier, it's about trying to unwrap that, to unpick it, to know what that means. And that is about looking in our Bible, working out who it is that God is. What has he done for us? And we start with thinking about this gift of a boy, of a baby. Now, what is it that we see when we see a newborn baby? That vulnerability, that preciousness, that almost fragile feeling you get. Do we see that child who needs to be fed, to be clothed, to be kept warm, to be protected, to be cleaned? We see in that preciousness of a new life. And yet that's what the Word was born into. The Word who was there in the beginning was born into that fragility, that vulnerability. Born of human that needed parents to look after him, to raise him, to hold him, to wipe him, to wash him, to feed him, to protect him. And we remember that Word was there in the beginning, that Word was God, and that Word left all that behind to become flesh. There's when the Word became flesh, when the Word became a child, suddenly that powerful became weak, the majestic became humble. The creator of the universe actually was on the earth with us in flesh. And as we struggle to get the scale of what that means, from such power and majesty to a point of humility, of being humbling himself to be a baby. You know, when God did that, when the Word became flesh, the question sometimes has to be, why? He became one of us to die for us. He became like us to free us. He walked among us to guide us and stayed with us to teach us. And as he did all that, he died on the cross to set us free from the treachery and the consequence of sin, not only in this world, but in the world to come. There's something so special about that movement of the Word become flesh. And sometimes we overlook that. This is the greatness of our God, that he forsook all these things to become flesh. This is the greatness of our God, who gave up that power to become a child. And when I say he gave up all that greatness, no, he didn't, because that would be to deny his deity. But in some way, what he did was lay that aside for a while. And even as he did that, maybe he's cooperated with what it is to be human, our own limitations. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so God became flesh, the Word became flesh in Jesus. And the government will rest on his shoulders. Government. The Hebrew word is Mishra. And actually, when we start to think about that, there's more to it than just what we see in the writing there. The government, the Israelites didn't like government. Government meant to them another occupying force. And so if they thought about government, they were thinking about other people who were controlling them. They saw it as a burden, something that they had to submit to, for they weren't free, something that happened frequently in their history. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. But actually, the word Mishra also means about ruling, being a ruler, the high position, the position of a high ruler or king. So here's the government lying on the shoulders of the one who will be born to us, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And particularly in those days, there was something on the name. People were named for particular purposes, for particular reasons, people received names as part of their purpose. It wasn't just that their name was liked, but it was that there was a purpose behind it, a plan behind it. And some of the places that we know and we read about in the Old Testament have been named for a particular purpose. But here there's words, there's names given to this boy. Wonderful Counselor. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. And from Acts, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. So the Wonderful Counselor shared of his wisdom and his teaching. The Wonderful Counselor actually supported people, was with people, spent time with people. And that Wonderful Counselor is called Mighty God. It was Thomas who said to Jesus when he appeared before him, "My Lord and my God." Mighty God. All these things that we see given up or set aside as the baby will come to life again later on. We'll see them again. Eternal Father. Jesus, who said, "I and the Father are one." And he said to Philip, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And in Revelation, "And the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." The Mighty God, Eternal Father, Wonderful Counselor, and Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. As Jesus himself says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. As we unwrap the gift of the child, the Son given to us, as we look in at Scripture, we build up a picture of a much greater gift than we can ever think or ever describe, of a God who humbled himself to become flesh, to come onto this earth, to walk and teach among us, to be with us, of this God who was humiliated and died on a cross to take the curse from Deuteronomy, and any man hung on a tree, that was of a curse, and Jesus took that curse for us. These are the things that our God has done. This is the gift that we have. And when we see what we're doing to Christmas, as one advert says, "Who took the merry out of Christmas?" Another one says, "Christmas is beige unless you get the stuff from us, and then you get all the colour you want." The focus is on buying stuff and giving stuff. The focus is no longer on looking at who God is and the gift that he gave us. No longer are we being humble and feeling honoured by God. But this world sets him aside and honours itself. This world's no longer humble before God, but proud of itself. The message that we've been given is the one to share. Whether you got a Bounty or a Galaxy or a Maltese or a Snickers or a Milk Bar, whatever the sweet was, actually, the message was in the sharing. The message was moving out there and moving among us. Imagine if I'd had all the time to wrap up little messages around the sweetie, wee verses. That would have taken some time. But that would have been a sharing of the message. And you know, that's what we need to do. Because the world is moving further and further away from God. That we need to share that message of the boy who was born to us, the son given to us for our salvation. And there's where we rejoice. Despite where we might be in our personal lives, despite what may be going on in our lives, how we feel and what's going on, actually there's where we rejoice, in the gift given to us. May you rejoice in what God has done for you. May you be able to unwrap that message, that gift, more and more in your discipleship to him. Amen. And we continue with our offering. As we move to our prayers for others, a reminder to the prayer tree that's now out in the vestibule, and just to write your own prayer up there if you wish, and remember all the prayers that are there on it. And our things of joy, then I just want to remember and be able to pray again for the social work department and the families will be receiving these Christmas dinner food parcels and the gifts that have been donated. And also to pray for the staff that are taking the time out to organise all that. From the Ardrossan Presbytery Prayer Diary, this week is fairly linked with Largs and Columbus. And so there's the interim moderator, the Reverend Alan Ward, and the locum, who's the Reverend Sandy McCallum, and also we remember too in our prayers Ken Welsh, elder there, who was interim moderator here. Appropriate just to remember him as we pray for that congregation. For Presbytery, the Appraisal Committee, convened by the Reverend Jeanette Whitecross. Again, the work that they do just to keep them in prayer. And from the Crossreach Prayer Diary, this week is Belfield Bank in Bankery, a residential home for 34 older people in Royal Deeside. Our things of concern, again, we don't need to go very far to see things of concern, and we carry our own burdens too, and this is an opportunity for us to release these burdens, to let God, who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and tired," to hand over these burdens to him and to resist the temptation to bring them back in again once we've prayed. So let's just join together and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to Christmas, as we come to this time, a time where we think of family times, of being together, of rejoicing together, celebrating together, we remember those who struggle with this time of year. Struggle because there's not enough money. Struggle because it's difficult without a loved one. Struggle because there's an illness. And Father, as we pray, we pray for those who will travel this Christmas, some who cannot be with family. And we pray for a world that we see broken and in violence and conflict, and pray for your peace. Father, we would long to see that world where wars were ceased, that people are free from terrorism, where children go to school, where all people have health care, where the hungry are fed, the homeless housed, and the unloved know of your love. Father, we pray for those who will be working around Christmas, who will be making their preparations and thinking about what they'll be doing. I would ask you, Lord, that you would strengthen all those who work to bring in your reign of peace and justice and love. That you would comfort those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. You'd fill us with your spirit that we may be part of the building of your kingdom. And Father, as we pray for those who are on our left, for those who are on our right, for those who are seated in front of us or behind us, for those who are seated above us or below us, and for those who are in another part of this building. Pray too for those who are not here this morning. And we pray your spirit, present with us now, would be present with them, and that you would heal them of all that harms them. And Father, as we present to you too our offerings, an offering of all that you've given us, we give back to you. We present ourselves as well, gladly, gratefully, humbly, that you might use us in the building of your kingdom, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Let's stand to worship. Heavenly Father, as you send us from this place, be with us by your Spirit. Enable us to rejoice in all that you've done for us and all that you've given us. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with each one of you now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Please remain standing if you can as you sing our exeunt, as the Bible, the word is removed from this place. You are the King of Glory, you are the Prince of Peace.